Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, and verses 25 through 35. This morning we'll be reading out of the Message translation. Usually we read out of the New International Version, but this passage this morning just seemed to jump off the page when I read it in the Message translation, so that's what we'll be sharing. Luke 14, 25 through 35. One day when large groups of people were walking along with him, Jesus turned and told them, "Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even one's own self, can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow behind me can't be my disciple. Is there anyone here who, planning to build a new house, doesn't first sit down and figure the cost so you'll know if you can complete it? If you only get the foundation laid and then run out of money, you're going to look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you. He started something he couldn't finish. Or can you imagine a king going out into battle against another king without first deciding whether it's possible with his 10,000 troops to face the 20,000 troops of the other? And if he decides he can't, won't he send an emissary and work out a truce? Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. Salt is excellent, but if the salt goes flat, it's useless, good for nothing. Are you listening to this? Really listening? This is the word of God for the people of God. So just before this passage, in the previous chapter, we learned that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. What we know and what his followers didn't know at that time, but what we know now, is that would be for the last time. He'd visited Jerusalem in his life a few times. This would be the last time, and we know what happened when Jesus visited Jerusalem for the last time. He wasn't heading there for fame or fortune or following the American dream. He knew that his time on earth was up, and he knew that he was facing crucifixion. He knew he was facing the cross. That's what was on his mind. But a large crowd of his fans were tagging along with him. And they had foam fingers, and they had Messiah t-shirts, and they were saying, "Yes, we're number one." And so Jesus turns to them, and he says, "You think this is easy? You think that following me is a convenient way to get your way and be on the winning team? Well, let me tell you, it's not. It's hard. And if you want to be my disciple, you have to give up everything." Jesus, at that point, was explaining one of the reasons that faith is hard, because it requires sacrifice. It requires giving up things that are dearest to us. And this isn't a new concept. The whole idea of sacrifice built into our relationship with God happened as early as Abraham in the Old Testament. You remember when God began his covenant relationship with Abraham, one of the first things he asked him was to sacrifice his son Isaac. Sacrifice is required for obedience. The two are a little different, but obedience requires sacrifice. And that's nothing new to having a relationship with God, but it's something that is difficult. And it's difficult because, if you think about it, giving up something that is dear to you is not convenient. Sacrifice is not convenient. It's the opposite of convenient. Our world has put convenience at the top of our wish list. You know, we want fast food. We want microwave meals. We want easy banking. We want quick weight loss. We want simple insurance coverage. We want one-day surgery. We want Kroger click list. You know, we want things that are just simple and easy and convenient. Faith is not like that. Faith is hard. There's nothing convenient about it. Believing is easy. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The believing part is easy. God sets the threshold pretty low to accept that truth about God and his love for us. So believing is easy, but living out what we believe is hard. Applying the truth in who we are, applying God's truth in how we live, in our relationships with others, that's hard. And what Jesus said to the crowd that was just going along with him was that to follow me requires sacrifice. And what he says today to us is the same thing. Faith is not easy. If you think about it, it's hard to stay faithful, always on track. If you think about it, it's hard to repent, to change. It's hard to obey. It's hard to make the sacrifices that are required for the sake of the gospel. It's hard to suffer for righteousness' sake. It's hard to be holy. It's hard to believe the unbelievable and live with unanswered questions. And that's why we're taking time this summer to look a little deeper at this whole idea that our faith is hard. The good news is in the Bible, God shows us a pattern that helps us identify those obstacles, those tough points, those hard things about our faith, and then what to do to deal with them, what to do to overcome the hurdles in those areas. And that pattern, as we have seen, that applies to each of these passages that we've looked at this summer, has to do with affirmation, has to do with the good piece of the faith that we see in this passage. But then the hesitation that comes because there's difficulty there. And then the invitation that God gives on how to participate in this faith even though it's hard. And then the action required for us to work at overcoming the obstacles. In this passage in verse 33, Jesus says, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. That's serious. When you build a building or you engage in any significant event, a wedding, a college degree, a career, retirement, you have to plan. When you face challenges or something risky, maybe there's severe weather on the horizon, maybe there's an illness, maybe there's an injury, maybe there's a job loss, maybe there's some loss of someone dear to you, it's good to have a plan. When your heart is full of love and grace and you want to draw close to Jesus and walk daily with him, it doesn't happen automatically. You have to plan. When you're the church and you're commissioned to carry out the will of God on earth as it is in heaven, it doesn't happen automatically. You have to have a plan. Faith is not some half-hearted, convenient stroll in the park. We must count the cost, understand the requirements, prepare to make sacrifices, make a commitment. The Apostle Paul put it this way in what's probably the last epistle he wrote, 2 Timothy. He said, I've fought the fight. I've finished the race. I've remained faithful. All that doesn't happen just by circumstance. Paul was prepared. He made sacrifices, committed to following Jesus. So how do we do that? And I suppose in looking at this passage, the question to answer is, what does Jesus mean when we have to bear our own cross? What does it mean to take up a cross and follow Jesus? So let's look at our pattern. Start with the affirmation. The good news is that God has a big plan. We're talking about being prepared, talking about having a plan in mind. Well, God has a plan in mind for you. It's a beautiful plan, a huge plan, a wonderful plan. It's the big picture. Sometimes we refer to it as eternal life. Peter talked to Jesus about this whole thing of sacrifice in a few chapters beyond where we are today. In Luke 18, Peter said to Jesus, "We left everything we owned and follow you, didn't we?" "Yes," said Jesus, "and you won't regret it. No one who has sacrificed home, spouse, brothers, sisters, parents, children for the sake of the kingdom will lose out. It will all come back multiplied many times over in your lifetime, and then the bonus of eternal life." So the plan that God has for us is to shower us with his presence, to shower us with his blessings, to shower us with life. And that's what Jesus knows. And that's what he knows the people who are following him know, that this wonderful journey has abundant life as its goal. And when the kingdom of heaven is complete and the gospel project is finished, we'll experience that great gift in all its fullness, eternal life, a glorious existence beyond what we could imagine, a rich fullness of being that in human language hardly finds any way to be conveyed. Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him." So if that's the affirmation, why all this talk about sacrifice and being prepared? If eternal life is a gift, why did Jesus say we have to give up everything? That doesn't seem exactly to fit. A gift? Isn't that something that you just receive freely? But now Jesus is saying that in order for this gift to be fulfilled in your life, you need to give up everything. Wait, what does he mean? Well, try to put it this way. Have you ever had a dream vacation? Just a plan for, or a thought anyway, a vision, a dream for you and your family to take off and head out on this most wonderful vacation that you could even think about, even imagine. And yet, it doesn't go too far in your imagination until the reality sets in and you wonder, oh my goodness, how much is this going to cost? The cost usually is the limiting factor in many of our dreams about vacation. But let's say that your dream vacation was to take your whole family to Disney World. And let's say that the reason you haven't done that is because it's very expensive. Tickets just keep going up in price. If you wanted to go all the parks, spend the week there, there on the world grounds, that's really expensive. But in our imagining, let's say someone gifted you the tickets. Someone said, "I want to pay for your whole week there. You and your whole family. You can spend as much time as you want, go to all the parks, live in whatever one of the villages that you want to on the grounds. It's just it's a gift that I want to give to you. I'm gonna foot the bill." Yay! That's wonderful. Wait a minute. We have to plan for this. We have to talk to everybody involved who's going and see if their schedules can get cleared for the same time. How hard is that? Let's clear everybody's schedule, get everybody on the same page so we can all go at the same time. That's not easy. But once we get that in place, then we have to make some reservations, maybe get a rental car. We have to book a flight. We have to make sure that we get everybody to the airport together. Nobody's left home alone. We have to pack. What do we take? Once we get there, once we fly there, once we land there, then we have to get the car and we have to fight Orlando traffic and we have to figure out a way to get to Disney World. And once we get to Disney World, we have this parking lot that's about the size of North Bend that we have to park in and then figure out our way to get. Man, there's a lot to do. Even if somebody gifts us the tickets, we still have a lot to do to get to the gate. That's what Jesus is talking about. The great gift of God is this gift of eternal life. He's already bought the ticket for us. Jesus paid for it with his life on the cross. Tickets are already bought. But there's some time before we get to the gate. And what Jesus is saying is that's not easy. By the way, eternal life doesn't start just once we enter the pearly gates. Eternal life starts as soon as we accept that love from God, that gift from God. And so eternal life, the journey starts now. And so part of receiving that gift is understanding that there's some work to do to get to the gate. Not that we have to do the work to get in. That's already paid for. But it's going to be hard. And there's going to be some sacrifices required along the way. That's what Jesus is talking about. The journey requires us to be prepared, to seriously consider our road ahead. And that's the point of the two illustrations that he uses. He talks about somebody building a house. I don't know if you've ever done that before. Started from scratch, found a spot, talked with the builder, drew up the plans. There's hundreds of decisions to be made when you build a house. And if you don't prepare for that, and if you don't plan to do that, then the house isn't going to be finished the way you want. That's what Jesus said. Listen, if you run out of money after you pour the foundation, how silly is that going to be? And he uses the illustration of going to battle. I mean, he talks in terms of there might be some skirmishes along the way. There might be some snipers spiritually trying to inflict pain, cause us to get off track. It's important to be prepared for that. It's important to realize that there's some sacrifices involved. So that's where the hesitation comes in. And the affirmation is this great gift of life that we have from God. The hesitation is along the way, there's going to be some sacrifices. And Jesus talks about it in two ways. He says, unless you give up everything, you cannot be my disciple. So there's the giving up part, and there's the consequences of not giving up part, giving up everything, and that's you can't be the disciple. So what do we give up? Well, think about some of the things that are dearest to you. And I'm not necessarily talking about possessions, but how about your opinions? How dear are your opinions to you? And how often do some of those opinions not line up with God's truth? And so one of the things that we have to give up are opinions, because it's convenient to hold on to our own opinions. Part of what I referred to earlier in the announcements, when I was in the prayer time, when I was talking about some of the leaders in the United Methodist Church, they don't want to give up their opinions. Their opinions don't always line up with Scripture. So it's important to give up our opinions and hold on to the truth, but that's not always easy. How about giving up success in this world? It's convenient to pursue what everybody else is pursuing. happiness, money, success in this world's about position and maybe power. Give up everything. We have to give up the pursuit of success in this world. We have to give up maybe being normal. We have to give up the idea that our neighbors think we're like them. No, we're not like them. If they're not followers of Jesus, we live a radically different life. Give up our opinions, we give up success in this world. And he actually specifies in this passage family. Giving up family as the number one priority in our life. That's not easy to do. That's hard. He doesn't mean that we just ignore mother, father, sister, brother. That's not what he's talking about. Because the great commandment of God is to love one another. You're supposed to love your family too. What he's talking about is even if your family, as important as they are, comes before Jesus, then we have to make a change. We have to make some sacrifices. Jesus needs to be number one, not family. And that's not easy. If you don't want to give up your opinions, if you don't want to pursue worldly success, if you don't want to make your family the number one priority in your life, then you can't be a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's the second part, that's part of the hesitation, why it's hard. You cannot be my disciple, Jesus says. You can't you cannot carry on Christ's work. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But if you're not a disciple, then that can't happen through you. Sacrifice is required to seek first the kingdom of God. Do you hear that? Seek first the kingdom of God. You know what the rest of it says? And everything else will fall into place. All these things will be added unto you. And by things he was talking about earlier, he's talking about food and clothing and shelter, all the things that are required in life. Everything will fall into place if you seek first the kingdom of God. Cannot be my disciple means we can't be the church. The church is commissioned to make disciples. If we're not disciples, how could we make disciples? William Barclay, the great Scottish theologian, scholar, said it's a supreme handicap of the church that we have so many distant followers and so few real disciples. Sacrifice is required to be the body of Christ. We cannot be Jesus' disciples, so we can't grow close to Jesus. We can't meet with him and walk with him and talk with him and experience his presence. Ask Judas how hard it is not to betray Jesus. Ask Peter how hard it is not to deny Jesus. If we cannot be his disciple, we can't stay close to him. If we can't be his disciple, we can't change the world. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will transform your life. You will go from this activity, nothing wrong with being a fisherman, but I'm going to make a transformation in your heart that'll so turn your life around that you'll be amazed, astonished, and the people around you will wonder, what happened? How did he change? If we're not a disciple of Jesus, that transformation doesn't happen through us. Sacrifice is required to promote the good news of salvation, to take on the mission of reconciliation and to do the work of justice and relieving oppression in this world. Give up everything, or else you can't be my disciple. Now, if being a spectator, sitting on the side, just kind of observing what's going on, is enough for you, then Jesus says this. He says, I want you to listen. Salt, this is how he concludes this little speech to the crowd. Salt is wonderful, it's excellent, but if salt goes flat, it's useless. It's good for nothing. Are you listening? Really listening? That's the invitation. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus is asking. Do you understand that following me, being my disciple, entering this way of holiness requires sacrifice? It's not easy. And so he calls us by invitation to listen to him, to understand that we have to own that truth, that faith is hard, that it requires sacrifice, that it's not convenient. It's something like taking up a cross, taking up intentionally the will to give up myself for the sake of the gospel. That's what Jesus did. He gave up himself on the cross for you, for me. And that's what's required of us. To be a follower of Jesus, to follow in his footsteps, requires us to be willing to sacrifice ourselves for the good and the best and the highest for others. So Jesus wasn't sure that the 12 especially got what he was saying, and this is really important. And so a little while later, in this passage in Luke chapter 18, says Jesus took the 12 off to the side and he said, listen carefully, there's his invitation again. Listen carefully. We're on our way up to Jerusalem. Everything written in the prophets about the Son of Man will take place. He will be handed over to the Romans, jeered at, ridiculed, spit upon, and then after giving him the third degree, they will kill him. I want you to listen to that. Is what Jesus said to the 12. Here's the invitation. This is what's going to happen. And as my follower, you're going to be engaged and involved in all this. Sacrifice is required along this journey. And so you need to be prepared for that. And that's where the action comes in. Going back to Paul in 2 Timothy, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've remained faithful. The rest of that verse is, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will reward to me on that day. Paul was able to do all that he did because he had a vision for what's coming. He had a vision for what's at the end of the journey in this world. He knew that there's this amazing crown of righteousness. There's this amazing place, maybe we should call heaven, that awaits him. Paul focused on the finish line. And that's what Hebrews chapter 12 says about Jesus as well. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And this is how we make the sacrifices. This is how we get through the hard part that's not convenient about our faith. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Because he both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That's how you do it. That exhilarating finish, he could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. And when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, when you find yourselves up against a difficult choice, when you find yourself up against a necessary sacrifice, when you find yourself in a tough place, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility that Jesus plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. That's the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12. The action piece for us is to keep focused on the end. As Stephen Covey would say, begin with the end in mind. Every step along the journey, keep the end in mind. Well, if we were super disciples rather than going along disciples. Imagine what God would do with that, with the church. If we were ready to make the toughest sacrifice and carry our crosses, no matter how inconvenient, for the sake of the gospel, imagine what God would do with our life. Imagine what he would do with his church. Imagine what collectively could be done if we're willing to pick up our crosses and follow him. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Holy and loving Lord, we thank you once again for the word that is true. We thank you today that, again, you've thrown out the challenge to us. There are some things that are difficult about following Jesus. And yet you still call us to take the next step, to continue the journey, to stay on the straight and narrow. We pray that you'll help us along the way. Help us to make the sacrifices that are just normal. They come our way because we want to stay faithful. So help us to choose in ways that bring glory and honor to Jesus' name. We're your people, called by your name. Help us to take up the cross. Help us to follow you. All that we do, all that we say, in all of our relationships. Help us to surrender, to sacrifice, for the sake of the gospel. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.